From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White, and today for Beth Ruyak, Washington, D.C. is abuzz today as former National Security Advisor to President Trump, Mike Flynn, will be sentenced for lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russian officials as the president was preparing to take office. Joining us today is political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, welcome to Insight.
Good morning, Randall.
And Ken, before we get to Flynn, something NPR has been reporting today, Donald Trump has decided to shut down his Trump Foundation. What are your thoughts on that?
He decided to shut that foundation because basically there are ongoing investigations, mostly led by the New York State Attorney General, that say that Trump has been using this foundation as a piggy bank for his own personal needs to pay off legal settlements, to make campaign contributions. They're saying that everything Trump has done with this foundation is illegal. Trump apparently has agreed to close down the foundation and the money will be dispersed to nonprofit agencies. But the investigation continues into how Trump and his family may have personally benefited from this foundation.
Yeah, during one of the NPR newscasts, they referred to it as a personal checkbook. There is documentation to prove this?
Oh, there is. As a matter of fact, otherwise Trump wouldn't have acceded so quickly. I think that reminds me a little bit of his willingness to settle that Trump University fraud claim as well, because he knew that the evidence was against him. But if he thinks that by disbanding the foundation, his legal problems will go away, he's mistaken, because the State Attorney General of New York has made it clear that she will insist on finding, taking this investigation to its logical conclusion, which could mean indictment. So watch this story, because it's not going away anytime soon.
All right, Ken, let's get to Mike Flynn's scheduled day for today. Prosecutors are recommending no jail time in exchange for his cooperation with several investigations. How serious are these charges?
Well, they are serious in the fact that, Michael Flynn otherwise wouldn't have, he pled guilty a long time ago about lying to the FBI about his connections and his conversations with the ambassador to the UN, mostly during the, about the Obama sanctions and what kind of deal the incoming Trump administration and Russia could work out. Now, of course, Trump says no collusion, and this is not really, exactly what we were talking about Russian influence into the campaign. But it does show that another top level person in the Trump administration, Flynn being the former national security advisor, could face jail time, or at least pleads guilty for lying to the FBI. And so much for talking about draining the swamp. I remember Michael Flynn's famous strutting on the stage at the Republican convention in 2016, with the delegates serenading him with "Lock Her Up," talking about Hillary Clinton. And he said, "Boy, if I did do anything that Hillary Clinton did, I'd be in prison today." Well, it doesn't look like he's going to prison. Both the prosecutors and the defense are urging no prison time because of his cooperation. But that's what's interesting, because President Trump tweeted today that he said, "Good luck today in court, and I'm with you and everything," even though Flynn has cooperated pretty extensively with Mueller. And yet when Michael Cohen did the same thing, of course, Cohen is a liar and a cheat and a traitor. So it's interesting, the two different approaches Trump has to his former henchman.
Yeah, and the president in his tweets today also said it will be interesting to see what Flynn has to say, despite tremendous pressure being put on him about Russian collusion these are his words, "in our great and obviously highly successful political campaign." And then he followed that up with the repeated "no collusion!" exclamation.
Doesn't it sound like I second ago talking about the Soviet Union when I meant Russia, of course, but it does sound like those old Soviet, our great exalted leaders and our great successful campaign, even while millions and millions of people were starving in the Soviet Union. It just somehow the Trump language on some of these tweets just sound like from a different era, and it's a bit eerie, but what else new, right?
Ken, I think we're going to switch to the phones here while we play this clip from Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, was on NPR this morning with David Greene. He seems to think Flynn should face consequences. Let's hear what he had to say.
Michael Flynn is an adult. He was a general. He lied to the FBI. That is now indisputable. And I'm sure there can be lots of debates about various motivations for what he's done in the last few days. Maybe he wants this to affect his sentence. Maybe he's hoping for a pardon. But to me, what everybody ought to see as their takeaway is the real consequences for lying to the FBI, as there should be.
But Ken, there aren't going to be consequences, are there? At least not in the sentencing today?
That's my understanding. And I think one of the reasons why, look, I understand what Senator Wyden is talking about, but obviously for the prosecution to recommend against jail time makes me think that the information that Flynn gave the prosecutors, that gave Robert Mueller and all the rest of the prosecution team, what he gave them was extremely valuable enough to decide that maybe that makes up for, that'll make up for the lack of prison time that otherwise would be recommended. Remember, even though Michael Cohen ostensibly is cooperating, he will, you know, he was sentenced to 3 years in jail because he apparently he didn't tell everything he knows. There's a sense that Flynn did tell everything he knows and has been extremely forthcoming.
An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds 62% of Americans think President Trump is not telling the truth about the Russia probe. How does public perception play into this?
Well, I'd like to know about the 38% that doesn't feel he is telling the truth. And look, you know, I don't know what it means. We did see a little bit what it meant last November when the Democrats picked up 40 seats in the House. A lot of areas that had voted for President Trump in 2016 threw out Republican congressmen and put in Democrats. So I guess that's one way of looking at it. And of course, the fact is that whatever we know or don't know about Donald Trump telling the truth, I think we're going to learn a lot more next year, or at least next month. What am I saying? Next month, January 3rd, when the Democrats take over control of the House. And when they do that, they will have power of investigation and subpoena and calling witnesses for testimony and things like that, something that the Republican-controlled House certainly wasn't willing to do in 2017 and 2018. So if you know, given the fact that the American people feel that the president is not telling the truth, given the fact that Mueller seems to be getting closer with these guilty pleas and these sentencings, and the fact that the Democrats are going to take over the House, it is going to be, I think, a much, much more disturbing picture for the president and for the Republican Party. And you may, I don't know what you'll see that, if you'll see more distractions, if you'll see more foreign policy crises coming about. But I suspect that it's not going to be a good year for the Republican Party and the president. I mean, you know, I don't buy the argument that he's about to be impeached and replaced anytime soon, because I think the last president who was impeached and replaced was nobody. It never happened. So give up, you know, those who people think they think that Trump is going to be removed from office by a Republican, by a now Republican Senate, forget about it. But the fact is, his life will not be made much easier with the investigators getting closer and closer to him.
Chris Matthews on MSNBC had speculated that he might resign to protect his daughter and son-in-law from convictions.
Yeah, well, first of all, I hope you're the last person ever to quote Chris Matthews. but having said that, look, I can't see him. You know, I was wondering, even if he had lost to Hillary Clinton, whether he would have accepted the results. I don't see him leaving early. I don't see him resigning. I think he, and maybe in his heart of hearts, he believes what he's saying, and there's no way he's going to be forced out, regardless of the facts. But I kind of think that in many cases we've seen in the past 2 years that the president will insist on things. Look, Putin was not involved, despite what our intelligence agencies say about interference in the 2016 election. So the facts be damned. I don't see him pulling anything that Chris Matthews suggests.
And Ken, a report out this week shows Russia was in deep on social media, utilizing every platform available and targeting African Americans in the run-up to the election for several months after, even trying to discredit Robert Mueller. What are your takeaways from that report?
Well, it's still going on now. Well, first of all, we should make a point of saying this does not prove collusion. This does not prove that the fact that President Donald Trump was working with the Russians, but it's clear from all the things that Russia has done on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, all the other platforms, that they did everything they could to not only elect Donald Trump, and they put that on right-wing sites with fake identities, but on left-wing sites, they targeted African-Americans, saying Hillary Clinton has sold them out. They targeted Bernie Sanders supporters, saying that Hillary Clinton is supported by the KKK. I mean, some of them are just beyond belief, but they clearly, Russia had it in its interest to elect Donald Trump, defeat Hillary Clinton, and they did whatever they could, and that includes targeting African-Americans, targeting Bernie Sanders supporters, saying that Hillary Clinton was part of the enemy and deserves to be defeated. And as you say, Randall, it's still going on now. It's disinformation campaign about Robert Mueller and all the fake charges that are being made against him. I mean, you know, God bless social media, and it's great for democracy, but sometimes there's a little too much democracy in social media that people believe what they see, and that's always a risk.
We're speaking with political junkie Ken Rudin about all of the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and there is a lot of it. We are just days away from a partial government shutdown if Congress doesn't approve funding. And there appears to be no plan to stop it, and that's coming from several Republican lawmakers who still control both houses. Everyone is apparently waiting on President Trump to lay out the next step. Is the main sticking point still funding for the border wall with Mexico?
Oh, that's all of it. That's what it is. I mean, Trump, you know, once he decides that this is going to happen, he'll make sure it happens. Stephen Miller, his top security policy advisors, said that we will do whatever it takes to build that wall, and if we have to shut down the government, we will. And that is Trump's philosophy. But as you quote, you know, the other Republicans say, we have no idea what's going on. There's no indication from the president that any new plan is coming. Sarah Huckabee Sanders did indicate that maybe the administration could go around Congress and gather enough money to fund the wall, which it seems like a little, an end run around Congress, which I don't think Republicans will be happy about. But right now, the President Trump, as he said last Tuesday in his meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, that, look, you know, I will take responsibility for it. I will shut down the government if I don't get my wall. And right as of now, he's still planning to do that. But my gut tells me that's not going to happen. There'll probably be one of those CRs they always talk about, the continuing resolutions, a short-term solution that maybe they'll fund it for 2 weeks and talk a little further. But the closer we get to 2019, the more power the Democrats have, because they'll have the House. And I think that, you know, if the Republicans want to make a deal now, this is probably a better chance for them to make a deal better to their liking than they will get in January. But again, the wall is a no deal for the Democrats, and that's what Trump is stuck with.
Ken, you mentioned Senator Chuck Schumer. He had comments today regarding President Trump not being on the same page as the rest of the Republicans.
Nor have we even heard from our Republican colleagues in the Senate or House about what they might support to avoid a shutdown. Senate Republican leadership has no idea what President Trump wants. Neither does House Republican leadership.
Does that indicate, Ken, that a shutdown is likely, at least a partial shutdown?
Well, I honestly don't know. I mean, this, you know, I don't want to have Chuck Schumer speaking for the Republican Party, but as you said earlier, the Republicans like John Cornyn, who's a number two Republican in the Senate, said we haven't got any instructions at all from what the president wants. So it feels like that we're on the way to a shutdown, perhaps maybe a short-term shutdown. Of course, most of the government is already funded, although Department of Homeland Security and others like that are not. So it would only be a partial shutdown. And as far as political implications, we always talk about when the Republicans shut down the government in 2013. This was a Ted Cruz effort because it's to stop Obamacare. And, of course, the Republicans got a lot of hell for it. And in 2014, they picked up 63 seats in the House. So short-term political fallout was very brief for the Republicans in 2013. I'm not convinced how long it'll be in 2018 and 2019. But right now, it looks like it's up to the President Trump to stop this shutdown if he wants to.
A federal judge in Texas struck down President Obama's Affordable Care Act back on Friday. Most of us know it nowadays as Obamacare. The judge says the mandate requiring people to buy health care is unconstitutional, so the rest of the law can't stand without it. Democratic leaders in several states plan to appeal, and it will likely end up before the Supreme Court. But where do we go in the meantime, Ken?
Well, nothing changes in the meantime. First of all, this is, you know, be careful what you wish for, because ever since Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was passed in 2010, Republicans have been saying, oh, this is, you know, we got to stop it, we have to repeal it, we have to get rid of it, and they never could. Of course, they were never going to do it when Obama was president, and they couldn't get the votes to do it when Trump is president, as we learned with the John McCain, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins voting no on the repeal effort. But when you have a federal judge, a conservative judge, who said, let's get rid of Obamacare and let's strike down the entire law, you would think the Republicans would think it's great news. But the fact is that a lot of people rely on the Affordable Care Act for insurance. It guarantees pre-existing conditions, which is so important to many Americans. 20 million Americans get insured in insurance through Obamacare. And so, you know, even at the end of the campaign last year, while the Republicans were on the defensive about health care, they suddenly changed their tune and said, oh, no, we're all for pre-existing conditions. We definitely want to protect that. And this judge is not bound by any popular votes. He said, let's get rid of the whole thing. And the Democrats said, wait a second. I think we think we just got the greatest political gift. I know that sounds cynical, but they did get a political gift if they get rid of Obamacare. So let's see what happens. Let's see where it goes in the courts. But right now, I'm not convinced that the Republicans, who have been wishing for the demise of Obamacare all this time, suddenly like what the judge in Texas has proposed.
Yeah, some polls show public approval as high as 6 out of 10 people just as recently as last month. So.
Yeah, remember, back in the day, I mean, when Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act was passed, it was very, very unpopular. Democrats knew it, but they just couldn't get the political will to open up the process all over again. But now, even if it is unpopular, it's still popular, more popular than any alternative, because there is no alternative. So suddenly the ugliness of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, which everybody was saying is so terrible, suddenly it's become popular and needed and necessary. And Republicans had better learn that before 2020, or they're going to find themselves in another debacle like they did last month.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, who was just in Chico here recently following the Camp wildfire, will leave office at the end of the year following a string of investigations into ethics issues. Is this fallout from the Democrats winning the House?
That's my guess. I mean, look, he's been under a lot of investigations for the longest time, a lot of things about conflicts of interest, a lot of business decisions that benefited his families. But he knew, and he knows, that with the Democrats taking over in January, you know, they suddenly would start investigating him even further. There are Justice Department investigations going in on him, but just because he resigned, I still don't think that the Democrats are going to back away from investigating what happened. And of course, you know, I saw on Twitter, I think today, that some progressive lefty or something was saying, this is great news, we got rid of Zinke. Well, the person replacing Zinke is going to be his deputy, who is a former oil and gas lobbyist. So if he thinks that anything is going to change policy-wise with Ryan Zinke gone, the president has a lot of things coming. But ethically, Zinke was in trouble, and I'm not convinced his problems go away just because he resigned his office.
Ken, let's just talk briefly about the new acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney. He is currently the director of the Office of Management and Budget. This has been a really hard position for the president to fill.
It's impossible to be a chief of staff in an administration where the president acts as his own chief of staff. And I said that about Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense as well. That's who Donald Trump is. So if the job is of John Kelly was to come in and instill order, he failed to do that. Mick Mulvaney is less interested in instilling order, less about talking between Democrats and Republicans. Mulvaney is more of a Trump loyalist, very conservative. He'll back Trump all the way. And one thing you can guarantee guarantee they won't be the screaming matches that we heard between Trump and Kelly. Mulvaney and Trump seem to be on the same page.
Ken, this is our last time chatting for the year. What are some of the stories that surprised you in 2018?
Well, nothing surprises me anymore because, I mean, it's just been so, just an unbelievable year. One thing, since we are ending the year off with this program, I'd like to talk about, just briefly, just a mention of the people we lost, the George Bush, Barbara Bush, John McCain. There were some giants. There was George Duke Majan as well, Ron Dellums from California. But there were a lot of people who really worked to make this country a better place, and you know, whatever you liked or didn't like about George Bush during his presidency, he is remembered more fondly, and John McCain as well, for civility, decency, and the belief that government can work. And so I think that while I'm not looking ahead to talking about this, but I want to say that we will miss them tremendously.
Stories that you're watching closely for 2019, I'm just going to take a stab at it and say the Mueller investigation.
The Mueller investigation, and see how long the shutdown lasts, if at all.
Political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, thanks so much, as always, for being on Insight. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you, Randall, to you and your family, and to the listeners. Thank you.
And, of course, we have more on our website. You can find that at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.